And Craig last night told a couple of stories about the police. And I thought that I'd tell you a couple, because we came from Darwin. Darwin is a rough city in the Northern Territory. And one time, we had 12 policemen in our church. We got a lot of stories from the police. And one time, there was a young fella following a policeman around a major shopping centre. And as he followed him, he just went oink, 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 oink. And the policeman turned around and he'd had enough, so he arrested him, put him in a paddy wagon, threw him in the jail for the night. And the next morning, the young man went before the judge. And the judge said, "And what is this man accused of?" The policeman said, "Impersonating a pig in a public place." When Susie and I first went to Darwin, Susie said, "I have my own car." So I went and bought her a mini miner. You know, they're about this tall, about probably that tall. And Susie was 9 months pregnant with our son. And we're driving along the road. Susie's driving. It wasn't me. Susie was driving. And this policeman came alongside and he was sitting up above the top of the car. And he looked down into the mirror, the window where Susie was driving the little mini like this. And the policeman said to her, he said, "Ma'am, do you know it's illegal to drive a car without your seatbelt on?" And Susie said, "Officer, I thought pregnant women didn't have to wear one." He said, "You're right, madam." He says, "Is your husband pregnant too?" It's really good to be here. I've heard a lot of good preaching in the last few days, a lot of good teaching. And it would appear to me that a lot of the ministry is on the miraculous. And I want to speak on the miraculous tomorrow. But today, I want to speak upon something that's a little bit different. It's something that I teach on more than any other subject around the nation of Australia. I want to talk about the God kind of health. I was born again under the ministry of a man called Oral Roberts in 1956. And at the end of every one of his services, Oral Roberts will lay hands on the sick and see them recover. And all those miracles came through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as I grew up, and as I went through a lot of sickness myself, I came to a conclusion that I'd rather be healthy every day of my life than to be sick and healed and sick and healed and sick and healed, because I become sick and tired of being sick and healed. And I began to study God's Word, and I found that there is a doctrine or a subject within the Word of God that I call the God kind of health. I don't know anybody else in the nation of Australia that teaches on the lines that I teach on things, but I want to share them with you tonight. When I turned, and I've been teaching on this for many years and written 3 books on it, and I've taught in seminars just for doctors, surgeons, specialists, professors of medicine. When I first was up, I thought it was 2 churches or 3 churches coming together. And after I accepted the invitation, I said to them, and what churches are coming together? They said, not churches, it's doctors. The year before, they had 2 doctors. They flew them out from Canada, and they were both the guest speakers at the convention. And this year, it's me. And you've got to understand, if you haven't heard my testimony yet, I'm a kindergarten dropout, and I was a mute. By the time I was 3 years old, I had brain damage. And they said, "You're going to be the speaker this coming year." And I tell you what, I said, "God, why me?" And God said, "Because I've chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise." That's about down there with Susie saying, the Lord said, "You can marry that boy." When I turned 60, I said to the Lord, I said, "Lord, I want you to give me a scripture for my future." You know, when you get to 60, you're sort of at least halfway there, aren't you? You're in the latter half. And I said to God, I said, "God, I want you to give me a scripture that's going to give me a confidence for the rest of my life." And the Lord had me turn to Psalms 92, verse 12, and it says that I will flourish in my old age. Isn't that a great scripture? Let me tell you, I don't think that flourishing is lying in a hospital bed with a tube up your nose. I don't think that being able to walk up and down the stairs is flourishing. Yeah. I don't think that waking up in the morning and looking up at my wife after 47 years and going, "I wonder what it is," isn't flourishing. Let me tell you, I don't have senior moments. I don't care what you say or what you confess, but I don't have senior moments. I'll tell you why I don't, because my Bible says that I have the mind of Christ and Jesus doesn't have them either. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 4 verse 10, it says, "Hear my son," and you know when he says my son, it's talking about you. "Hear my son and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many." I learned at a very early age that the human body has the capacity to produce a variety of hormones, chemicals, and endorphins when we get into an emotional realm. Let me say that again in a different way. When we get into an emotion, your body will automatically produce a corresponding hormone, chemical, or endorphin. When we get into emotional hurt, does anybody know about emotional hurt? All right, you got teenagers. When you get into emotional hurt, automatically you will well up tears and they'll trickle down your cheeks. You can't stop that. You don't even try and start that. You don't try and produce tears, but they will automatically come when you have the corresponding emotion. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
When you get into the emotion of fear, the body will produce a corresponding chemical which we called adrenaline. Do you know about adrenaline?
Yep.
Okay. And so all the body does that in many different areas. Susie and I, we were over in Perth, West Australia, ministering a little while ago, and we were actually reading a little magazine, and we learned that in Canada, the Canadian doctors and scientists at the Canadian University have now found that when people tell a lie, everybody know the word lie? When you tell a lie, the human body will produce a heat.
Blood vessels.
Come here. Isn't she gorgeous? Talking to my chest.
Just the blood vessels in the end of the nose become congested with blood, and they really shine when you put on there a light.
Like an infrared thing.
A heat detector.
And do you know what they've called it? The Pinocchio syndrome. I have this attitude that if you always tell the truth, you never have to remember what you said. So I wrote my first manuscript and I gave it to a doctor, and you got to understand, I'm a kindergarten dropout and didn't do very good at that. And I battled with writing. I never read a book till I was 26 years of age except the Bible. And I wrote this manuscript and I gave it to a doctor, and he wouldn't give me back the manuscript. He wanted to read it again. And he said, "This is the best book I've ever read. And God said to me, I want you to read about this so that people can be freed from sickness. Then I wrote my second book. Before I wrote my second book, I went out teaching on this subject, and everywhere I went, I was meeting doctors. I had doctors wanting to fly across Australia just to have coffee with me to talk about the God kind of health. I went to Malaysia, and the last night I was in Malaysia, I was ministering, and a millionaire came up and said, "Would you please come with me tomorrow and visit time, I've got to get on a plane at 7 o'clock in the morning." And he said, "Cancel your flight. You've got to come and see my friend." And I couldn't cancel a flight because I had a meeting the following day in Australia. And I said, "He must be a good friend." He said, "He's the Minister of Health for the nation kind of health." And as I traveled, I studied more, and I studied Hebrew writings, and I studied medical stuff from doctors. I began to write my second book, and my first book is called Prevention is Better Than Cure, and my second book I was calling Don't Worry, Be Happy. And while I was writing that book, I saw that there was a TV program, a health program, and I turned it on, and on this program there was a panel of doctors and scientists. And these men, they began to talk about some of the things I knew, but they were telling me some new stuff. And one of the men turned around and said, "We now know in the medical world that the human body has the capacity to produce up to 3,500 hormones, chemicals, and endorphins when you get emotional outbursts." I mean, 3,500, I only knew about three. I was a long way behind the eight ball. I came to the conclusion that if I want to have a healthy body, God's given me the golden nuggets or the secrets in the Word to obtain that, then I need to learn more about what my body is capable of producing. Another man stood up and he said, we now know that when you get into the emotion of anxiety, that the body will produce a corresponding chemical. It flows up into the area of the brain and causes memory loss. And now I want to give my first altar call. Can I do that? I know you haven't had an altar call this early in any session yet, but I want you to be honest with me. And please don't lie. Just be honest. Just don't be embarrassed. How many people have ever walked into your bathroom or your bedroom and all you want to do is pick up one thing off the dressing table and there's only two things there and you're standing there scratching your head saying, what did I come in here for? Do you want to know what causes that? Anxiety. God doesn't want us to be anxious. These doctors said that when you get into an emotion that is a negative, such as resentment, bitterness, anger, hatred, unforgiveness, your body will produce a negative chemical and that chemical will destroy the body. But when you go on to the other side of the playing field and you get into laughter and joy and forgiveness, your body's going to produce an endorphin that's going to heal you. Isn't that good news? The Bible says laughter does good like a medicine. A broken spirit dries the bones. God puts all these things in order in the Word of God. Resentment kills the fool and envy slays the simple. I'd rather be on the laughing side than the envy side. I don't want to be slayed. I don't want to go down the gurgler. I want to live till I'm 100, preaching when I'm 100. We went to Bible school with a young man, and all he wanted to do was become a preacher when he came out of Bible school because his dad was a preacher and his uncles were preachers. He wanted to be a pastor of a church, and Bible school finished, and Susie and I, we went off to Papua New Guinea. We don't know where he went. We didn't see him for nearly 40 years. And one day I was in Perth, Western Australia, and someone said, he's here. So I looked up his number, and I rang him up, and he said, oh, I'd love to see you. And so I went over, and I walked in the door, and I opened my feet, my mouth, before I put my mouth in the, or my brain in the gear, and I said, where do you pastor? He said, I don't. And that shocked me. And then I said, where do you go to church? He said, I don't go to church. A lot of people don't go to church because they get hurt. And it's generally the pastor's fault. Because he forgot their birthday. I tell people, if you want to get hurt, just invite the family around for Christmas. It'll do it every time. He says, I got hurt. I was shocked. I wanted to write a sermon. And I wrote a book, actually, called Do Yourself a Favor, Get Over It. That's what you got to do. You got to grow up. Susie tells me off. I tell everybody, grow up. You got to grow up. You're big people now. You got Jesus to help you. This guy turned around and he said, I will never darken the door of another church again as long as I live. How sad is that? Len, can I give another altar call? Thank you. Are you ready for another altar call? They weren't all honest the last time. Only some of them put their hand up. But come on, guys. I want you to be honest this time. Come on. How many people here have ever had diarrhea? Did you get over it? Did you turn around and say you'll never darken the door of another dunny again? Did the hardware store and buy some timbers and chains and lock up the door and put a big sign on, do not enter? No, you want to get over it, don't you? You want to get over ingrown toenails. Yeah. You want to get over the burps, don't you? Well, you can get over being hurt. It's a simple action. You forgive those that hurt you. Where am I? You're getting over it? My wife apologizes for my different way of preaching. When I was a young boy, and I shared some of this the other day, my dad, he went and bought me the whole Bible on LP record, and I read it every day. I heard it every day. And while I was, did I say that at my the other morning meeting? And when I was reading this, I learnt the word. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. I did a lot of hearing when I was a child, and then one day, after I'd grown up, and Susie's still depending, working on that. When I grew up, she does. She helps me every day. I was reading this scripture in the Bible, and the Bible verse mentioned two words, and the first word was the word grief, which is an emotion, and the second word in there was the word blindness, which is a physical condition. And I didn't take any notice of that. You know what we do. We read the Bible. We want to please God. We do it because we want to be on good terms with God. Actually, the Bible says study it. When you get to your age, you've got to probably give away a bit of the reading and take on a whole lot of study. And so anyway, I was doing the reading deal. And then about a week later, I was reading another scripture in another part of the Bible. And it talked about grief and blindness again. And the penny dropped. I thought there might have been a common denominator. So I went back through some of my old hearings of the word, and I studied the Bible, and I found out there was a number of guys who went blind in the Bible. And I thought, well, I'm going to look up and see if they've got any connection with this grief. And if you got your Bible, you can turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 26, verses 34 to 35. And this is talking about a man called Esau, who was grandson of Abraham and the son of Isaac. And God said to the children of Israel, when you marry within the camp. They couldn't go down the Philistine or the Hittite camp, had to marry in the camp. It's exactly the same today. Do not be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. This boy, he went down the Hittite camp and he picked up on two girls, married them both. Brings them back to dad and says, look, dad, look what I found. Can I keep them? And Isaac, let me tell you what it says about Isaac. And when Esau, the son of Isaac, was 40 years old, he took his wives, Judith, the daughter of Beri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Enon the Hittite, and they were a grief of mine to Isaac and Rebekah. And the next verse says, and he went blind. The very next verse. I was stunned. He went blind. This is the first time the Bible talks about anyone going blind in the Bible. It's also the first time it talks about grief of mind. You might say, well, I've had grief of mind. In fact, probably most of you have. You might say, and in our testimony we share about how we've lost everything three times and two kids. I'll tell you, it can come on you. And grief is not a sin. You understand that? Grief is not a sin. But you can't prove a doctrine through one scripture, can you? The Bible says you've got to rightly divide the word of truth. And I'll tell you another thing you can't do. You can't make up a doctrine because you had an experience. They don't count. God's word counts. But sometimes an experience and the word of God will dovetail. Like, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And so anyway, what happened was Susie and I, we were invited to fly across the nation of Australia and pastor a church there. And we got there like beginning of the week, and midweek we'd already moved in. And I wanted to, I'm a bit of a workaholic. I don't like sitting around waiting for Sunday to come. I like to get up and do something. And so I invited all the young people to our home who we'd never met before, didn't know their names. And they all came in there, sipping coffee, eating biscuits. And one young girl began to tell all the other young people how the young people should live for Jesus. And she said this. She said, we are in the world, but not of the world. You agree with that, Doctor? Yes, that's what the Bible says. Then she says, we shouldn't be out there telling their dirty stories, using their filthy words, sleeping around and all of this kind of stuff. And I thought what she said was really good. Until the ghost came and spoke to me. And the gift that I operated, gift of the word of knowledge. And the Lord gave me a word of knowledge for that young girl. Our life. And I walked across the room and without anybody knowing, and I've never met her yet, I didn't even know her name, I spoke those two words softly into her ear and she fell on the floor in the fetal position and began to cry out, I'm blind, I cannot see. This girl went blind in our living room. I was shocked. I'm the new preacher in town. I had a little bit of fear. Do you know why I was in fear? I was thinking of the headlines of the newspaper the following morning. New preacher arrives in town, got the ministry of miracles in reverse. The young people said, pray. That's all I knew. So I laid hands on her and I began to pray. And after about 20 minutes, her eyesight came back and I thanked Jesus. I really did. 2 years later, I went to a conference, a pastor's leaders conference in Perth, Western Australia. It was a very large conference. And they had a coffee room on the side about as big as this in here. And I walked over and I sat down on my own. And a man came and sat next to me who I never met. And he introduced himself. He's a doctor of medicine. And I thought, I'm going to tell this doctor this weird story about the girl. And I told him. And I thought he was going to say, that's the weirdest thing I've ever heard. But he didn't say that. He said, we know about that in the realm of medicine. We have thousands of documented letters where people have got in a great grief and heavy hurt and the body produces a chemical. The chemical flows up through the bloodstream and into the eyes and it stuns the eyes. People blind. And maybe for 20 years. I never knew that before. And you probably didn't know it either. But since that time, I've had probably maybe 800 plus people that have come and testified this. Last week, we were in your town at the church that night. Two people came up to me that night and told me we went blind after a situation with grief and heartache. Did I tell you the two words of knowledge? No. It was the surname and the Christian name of the man she'd slept with just the week before. We call that the word of knowledge. My children growing up called it God ratting on them. Then I went and I studied the second man in the Bible who went blind. You all know Jacob went blind, don't you? Jacob was the father of many sons, a dozen or so sons, and he was a man who had sheep but mainly goats, and his sons worked with they were shepherds on the hills of Jerusalem on a 24/7 basis. And in that day, just like David said, there was lions and bears that would come and steal the sheep, and the boys were out there all day, all night, every day, every night, summer, winter, and spring. All but one. Joseph was home with Dad. Joseph was Daddy's little favourite. Joseph was mollycoddled. Joseph got a coat of many colours. The brothers got some Vincent de Paul hand-me-downs. And after a while, they got bent out of shape. And you know they did a number on their brother? They sold him as a slave into Egypt. Went home with his coat of many colours, poured some goat blood into it, gave it to Dad, and Dad was absolutely in total grief. And let me read to you what it says here. And it says in Genesis 37, it says, and Jacob recognised it and he said, my sons, this is my son's coat. A wild beast has devoured him, and without doubt my son Joseph has been torn into pieces. Then Jacob tore his clothes and put sackcloth upon his waist and he mourned for his son many days. Every time something is written in the Bible by God or by anybody, it's there for a purpose. It's not there because we've got to fill up to the end of the page and make the story hang out, you know. And so God put things for purposes in there. And he said here, and he mourned for his son many days. Let me tell you, in the Old Testament, if you study the Bible, if you study culture, the Jews were allowed to by God, when something happened, they were allowed to mourn for 30 days. And then the time of mourning was over and they had to move on. They had to move on. I have a policy. Susie and I have held this policy. Let me tell you, it's really hard when you lose everything three times in fires and cyclones and everything else and floods with Susie. That's four times. And when you have to bury your first child, your first funeral was your own. Did you know that? But this is our principle. Grief can come for a holiday, but it can't take up permanent residence in your life. The Pope came to Australia some years ago, and he was driving around his little Popemobile, and he was going like this to everybody. I never knew that what that meant until I was informed. You know what it means? Hey, you grief, pick up your bag, get your mate, and there's the door. Don't let grief reign over you. You tell it where the left, you give it the left foot of fellowship. You promised me you'd be good tonight. And he mourned for his son many days, and all of his sons and all of his daughters rose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. This man gave no room for restoration. Sometimes you go to church, sometimes you belong to a group like this, and you know what? Something happens and you go, time out, time out. I can't find a scripture in the Bible where it says time out. I've looked. It's not there. You don't run off to the world. You don't run off to everyone else. You come running to your family, because it's your family in Christ that's going to be the ones that are going to comfort you. And this man Jacob, he said when they tried to comfort him, he said, for I will go to my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. This man grieved every day of every week of every month of every year of his life. This man said, I'm going to grieve every day until I'm dead and they bury me in the ground, and then I'm going to stop grieving. The problem was, 30 years later, they found his son Joseph, prime minister in Egypt. He wasted 30 years. How sad is that? And when he gets to Egypt, he's reunited with Joseph, but he's blind as a bat. He can't see anyone. He's sort of feeling for his grandsons. Sad, isn't it? And in the book of Genesis, chapter 47, verses 8 and 9, he's introduced to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to him, how old are you, Joseph? And Joseph said, I'm 130 years old, but my lifespan has been cut short in comparison to my descendants, and the years of my life have been full of evil.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad you're here. The ushers have got to be quicker in this centre. This man pulled some money out and the ushers went straight by. Didn't they? And he looked at me, he said, where's the ushers? I said, they've been raptured. Jacob said, I'm not going to live as long as all... He was the most important man in the world at that time. He was the granddaddy of Jesus Christ, and he's going to die young. And he's going to be as blind as a bat. And he said, all the days of my life have been full of evil. People, can I encourage you to do something? When you read the Bible, don't read it fast. I have to read it slow because of my education standards. But I read it slow and I study the words. And I read that word evil. I thought, I wonder what that means. And I looked up in the Hebrew concordance and it means great grief and heavy hurt. This man said years before, I'm going to grieve every week of every day of every month of every year of my life. And now he says, I've suffered all these problems because of the great grief and the heavy hurt. I don't want to go into the other people here because there's too many other things to speak about. But I will tell you this. In the book of Lamentation, you know about the Lamentation book, don't you? It's the saddest book in the Bible. The word Lamentation means lament. The word lament means weep. And in the book of Lamentation, chapter 5, verse 16, it says, the joy of our heart has ceased and our dances turn in the mourning. These people close the door on joy and they open the door to mourning and grief. And then it says, and because of this, our hearts grow faint, and because of this, our eyes go blind. You need to read this book. It's really sad. I tell everybody, do you know why you got to read it? Because you're going to go to heaven one day. You're going to meet the author. He's going to say, what do you think of me book? And then, behave! Who bought him? And then we have another emotion, which I don't think is infiltrated from your cousins over in Australia. It's probably not here yet. It's called anger. Do we have any anger here? Well, let me tell you, we got a lot in Australia. When I first became a pastor, let me tell you, I was so young, I hadn't even started shaving yet. I was 26 years old. And honestly, I was a novice, and I come into the church, and within no time at all, a couple came to me, and they wanted marriage counselling. They had teenagers. I had teeny boppers. I didn't need marriage counselling. My wife's great. And they came in, and what this guy did, can I borrow your Bible for a minute? Thank you. Just like Susie's. He comes in like this, you see, with his finger in a scripture. And I can feel a con job coming on, you know. And he comes in, and he sits down, and just as her bottom hits the chair, she bursts out in tears, and she says, Pastor Greg, my husband's, he gets so angry. And down went the Bible. And he said, let me read you a scripture, Pastor, from the Word of God. It's one that the Lord gave to me. Be angry and sin not. And I got conned. It's in the Word. It's in the Word. And guess what? You can use scriptures for anything if you really want to. So I thought it's time to start studying. Having grandmums on both sides that are Jewish, I decided that I was going to do some Jewish cultural studies. That's where I really started off for my Jewish cultural studies. I want to write a book in the next year on Jewish culture. And anyway, I began to find that the Jews in the Old Testament use cliches just like us. Just like us. When we talk about anger, well, I don't know what you guys say over here. We say, don't lose your cool. Don't blow a fuse. Don't burst the blood vessel. You say all those? The Jews had two cliches. They went like this. Do not blaze up hot with anger, or do not glow hot with anger. I said, I wonder what that means. Didn't take me long. I saw a guy get really angry. Red's the beetroot. Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, you see, I'm writing my second health book now. And being so smart as I am, I begin to write some manuscript, and I take it up to that doctor. I said, hey, doc, look at this. And I'm talking about blood pressure going red in the face and the blood pressure and how the blood pressure is not good for you. I said, what do you think of that? He says, it's garbage. I said, what do you mean it's garbage? He said, blood pressure's got nothing to do with being angry or going red in the face. I said, well, why do you go red in the face? He said, well, every human being on the face of the earth has a gland in their throat here, right here. He says, and that gland really doesn't do much. It sort of lies around having a holiday most of its life, unless you're an angry person. He said, but when you get angry, and he said, remember, the brain is the control center of the body. When the brain gets angry, and he said to me, you know, your foot never gets angry. Did you know that? Your foot never gets angry. He says, if your little puppy dog does a, or what's your dog, brother? Labrador does the whoopee on the floor. You want to kick the dog out. But it's not the foot that determines the kick. It's the brain that sends a message to the foot to give it a kick. Am I telling you the truth? It is. He said the brain, when it gets angry, sends a message to the gland in the throat. The gland in the throat is like the brain rings the bell and says, hey, hey, gland, get up. It's time to go to work. We're getting angry up here. You've got to get to work down there. And the brain produces a chemical, or a hormone actually, and the hormone is produced in mass proportion, and it is spurted out of the throat and into the blood vessels of the face, and the face goes red. Isn't that interesting? And then this doctor said, is this what he said? He said, there's more. And there's more. I thought he was going to sell me a set of steak knives. I said, what do you mean there's more? He said, well, the gland in the throat produces more of this hormone than the blood vessels in the face can contain, and the residue goes down or goes up and under the tongue. He says it's poisonous. It'll seep through the body along with the saliva and cause grievous bodily harm. I want you to know, you got to be a nitwit to get angry. You really do. once you know the truth, you've got to live in the truth. And when you read it, you've got to change. I have a saying, if you don't change, they'll stay the same. Am I telling you the truth?
Yeah.
It goes down or up and under the tongue. It'll kill a mouse, yeah. Probably kill a dog. I wouldn't kiss your Dalmatian, brother. Not your Dalmatian, your Labrador if you get angry with it. Don't kiss your Labrador if you get angry with it. And I went home and I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, that's not fair. I started preaching as an itinerant minister when I was 18 years old. Missionary by the time I was 21. Built churches in Australia and overseas. Pastored. Then to Bible schools. I went to Bible school twice. Failed the first time. And I said, Lord, that's not fair. How come a doctor had to tell me something so vital in this thing that I'm teaching and it should have been in the Word of God? Why didn't you tell me? And God said, why don't you read my Bible? So I opened up the Bible and I turned to the book of Romans chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. This is also in the Old Testament if you want to look it up. And this is what it says. Their throat is an open tomb and with their mouths they practice deceit, and the poison of asps or snakes is under their lips. Is that clear cut or not? But you see, I never matured that fast. I said to God, who are these people? And God said, read the next verse. Whose mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. People, every time you curse, every time you rant, every time you go off the deep end, you cause yourself grievous bodily harm.
Yeah, that's true.
It's an automatic response to the way that you conduct yourself.
Yeah.
Now, my dad lived in a different generation. And us kids, we sort of talked different to my dad. And now the new generation, the teeny boppers now, they talk different than you. And I don't personally understand them. You guys will come up, good message, Pastor. Oh, lovely message, Pastor. Filth, man. Filth, wicked. Have you heard them say that?
Yeah.
That's what they say. My dad, in his day, he didn't say blow a fuse. My dad said, don't get hot under the collar. Where's the gland, people? Under the collar. You see, things change from generation to generation, from 1,000 years to another 1,000 years, but they keep the same principle. The Jews bought that understanding all the way through. They went from country to country, changed their languages, didn't lose the truth. And that's why we would say, don't get hot under the collar, where they would say, do not glow hot with anger. All right? Same teaching, same principles. Now, I have a goal. My two grandchildren, they tell me I am famous because they've seen me on the web. But I'm not that famous. Am I, sir? I'm not. But I want to be. I want to be famous. And I said to Susie, I'm going to be famous. And I'll tell you why I believe I'm going to be famous is because a guy called Sir Isaac Newton was famous. You know that? Yeah. And do you know why he was famous? And he's known in all the schools and universities and colleges and, you know, medical schools around the world in every language. Because he came up with this little thing called what goes up must come down. And I was sure I could do better than that. So I've come up with my own saying. What goes in must come out. I'm going to be famous. I really am. I'm going to be famous. Let me explain it to you this way. Inside the body, we have containers. One of those containers is called the lungs. We breathe in oxygen. It goes in, hangs around for a little while, has a little party, comes back out. There's carbon dioxide. Do you understand that? Then you have a drink of water, and the water, you drink it, it goes down into a different container called bladder. Does anybody need me to explain the science of that? Then you go out and you have McDonald's. You know what's coming. Down goes the food, down to the motel stomach, hangs around for 2 or 3 days, and then we wash it off into a watery grave. Is that the question is, what happens to the 3,500 hormones, chemicals, and endorphins that your body produces? What happens? They don't hang around under the tongue. You'll choke. They're absorbed down through the body, and according to the top back specialists in the United States, they now tell us, one guy said that, and he's at the top as a back specialist, he said, in my opinion, 97% of all back pain, excluding people who got run over by a bus or got stamped on by an elephant, 97% of back pain comes from negative emotions. From resentment and from bitterness and from stress and from anxiety. Toxins. Goes down into small, capillaries, what little pockets, and they're sucked in right along the spinal column between the vertebrae and between the nervous system. I could go on with that for the next hour, but I don't want to. There's a lot of things I've got to teach, and I don't know what time I started, I don't know what time I'm finishing. This man here is responsible if I talk too long. Let me tell you about laughter. The Bible says laughter is good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. The word good here is the word yatab, it's a Hebrew word. It has a lot of meaning, such as to be diligent. You will find yourself being more diligent. You will find yourself being more skillful. You will find favor with people. You will be more content. And you will have more success. The moment you get into joy, your body takes on a new attitude. You will be a producer and you won't decline in your health. Isn't that good? Your bone structure will be healthy. Susie, all the time, my grandchildren don't understand why Nana's in the room on her own with the door shut and she's laughing behind the door. And they say, what is wrong with our Nana? And Nana, she went to the bone specialist, talking to my chest. What was your bone density? Come on, tell them.
117% above average.
And she was 105 at the time. No. But you know what I mean? When you obey the word works. The word always works. So what haven't I touched? Forgiveness and unforgiveness. That's a good one. Doctors around the world, mainly in the Americas and the European nations, are not even Christians, are finding out through science that if they work in forgiveness, people are getting healed. Doctors, unsaved doctors, and I don't think it's fair, it's our doctrine, isn't it? It's ours, God gave it to the church, and these guys are out there making money out of it. What they're doing is they're pulling down their signs, medical centres, and they're putting up signs, forgiveness centres, and they're bringing people in, and they're diagnosing their ills, and then they give them a prescription, and it says, go home and forgive your partner, or go home and forgive your mother and your father. That's what God's saying. And guess what? And people are getting healed in the thousands because they're obeying the word of God. Some time ago, I had the privilege to minister in Canada. And I flew to Canada from Australia through Tokyo, from Tokyo to Los Angeles, from Los Angeles to Calgary, from Calgary to Toronto. And it was a really long trip. I think I was in the air more than 24 hours, or my brain thought it was. And all I wanted to do was, when I got off the plane, was to go to a motel and find a bed and go to sleep, because I was really tired. I don't sleep on planes. And so I got to the airport, and there's a contingency of people, and they said, come on, Pastor Greg, hop in the car, we've got a meeting already on the way, and you're going to be preaching. And so I went, and I had to preach in this church, and then afterwards, because it doesn't get dark till midnight, they took me out for supper, and then they took me off to this apartment building, and I got to the apartment building, I just walked up like this, And I got to my room and I opened the door and it was in blackness. You know how motels, all the lights are down and all the curtains are closed and there's furniture in there somewhere, but you don't know where, but it's there. And I opened the door and I looked in and it's just black. It's like my shirt, it's black. And I thought, oh no. I put my hand over and I turned the light on, but the lights wouldn't come on. There was a fault. So I thought, no, I'm not going to go down and try and get the lights fixed. I'm going to go to bed. So I'm wheeling this bag across the floor like this with my eyes half shut. I tipped over the chairs and I took all the skin off my shins and I was bleeding. And so I walked back to the door and I went downstairs and I did what any good Christian itinerant minister would do. I complained. I showed them my bleeding shins. And they said, sorry, Mr. Bedell, we'll get the maintenance man up to your room immediately. So up I followed this little man in a little suit and a little box like this, you see. He opened the door, put his hand and the lights went on. And I said, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. I said, how did you turn the... I said, I tried and tried and tried. And you're already telling, aren't you? You know, don't you? He said, all you have to do is turn the light up. I said, what do you mean up? I said, in Australia, we turn the lights down. He said, no, it's changed over here. In this country, it's up. I never made that mistake again. My Bible says this, that we are to be hearers and doers of the word. When you hear something that's the truth, change. You can do it with a light bulb, so do it with anger. I actually did a chapter in one of my books called Lose Your Temper. Permanently. You don't have to think about it. Don't go back and find it. Oh, where's me temper? Just get rid of it. I don't like walking in the dark. I like walking in the light. When I came out of the land of sin and the kingdom of darkness, I came over to the kingdom of Jesus and the kingdom of light. I need to walk over here in the light. Can I tell you about Darwin? Darwin has four seasons, like you have four seasons, but they're different seasons. We live in the tropics. We have hot, very hot, sticking hot and sweaty hot. And Susie, being English, before I went to Canada, she gave me the word. Honey, when you go over and you're with those Canadian preachers, you make sure you shower every day and put your deodorant on. And I went to bed that first night with bleeding shins and a bit of a, you know. And I get up the next morning, the first thing, I'm listening and I can hear Susie from Australia saying, have a shower, have a shower. I get up and I walk over and the showers in Canada aren't like the showers in Australia. They look like a shower that's on a Star Trek. They're different. They've got swivel things in it. And I get in and I turn the shower on. Do you know what? When you preach, you gotta read scripture, don't you? It's not good. Some people preach and they don't ever use the scripture. Let me give you a scripture that I'm very fond of these days. Why are you laughing before I give the scripture?
It's that look in your face.
I'm not looking at you anymore. The Bible says, turn the other cheek also. We have two sets of cheeks. We have the southern cheeks and the northern cheeks. I got in that shower and hot steam came out and I was blistered for life. They put the hot and cold like that. I never made that mistake again. Do you want to know why? Because I'm a doer of the word. It's my policy. I don't like getting blistered butts. How long have I got? I can't really tell me.
Tell her, then you ask him.
How long?
He's the boss. Down there.
5 minutes. Five? Yeah. I can do it in 5 minutes. Oh, gee. Chuck this away. Okay, let me go on to something. I want to tell you a story because this has really made a big change in my life. I want to change track. Look, I've got 20 hours teaching like this, okay? So it's hard for me to do everything. And what I want to share right now is about my daughter. My daughter, she fell pregnant with our first child. My daughter was a very slender lady. She was Darwin's top model. She was a Miss Universe finalist. And we were very, very proud of her conduct and the way she lived. And she got married and she fell pregnant. And she was so pleased that she was living close to us when our little grandson was to be born. And what happened was, and I don't have the notes, I'm just going to, I took them out before I came to New Zealand. But what happened was, every day, my daughter with my little grandson came to visit. I sat down, I spoke to him. I spoke to my grandson in the womb. I believe in the miraculous. I've learned in my health teaching that the first organ that's fully developed in an unborn child and operational is the human ear. It can hear at 6 weeks old. I learned from my medical friends that, and I learned this in New Zealand from two doctors originally in the year 2000, as I was travelling through Full Gospel, that a child at the age of 30 weeks knows who's talking outside, like mum or dad or uncle and aunt. All right. I also learned that by the time a child was born, a child knows at least 100 words. I was told by doctors here in New Zealand, by two doctors, that if you played music while the child's in the womb, through that period of time, the child will learn the beat, the rhythm and the melody of that whole CD. The whole CD. And that we have an obligation as parents to teach our kids the Word of God. So every time I sat down with my daughter, the music would be in the background. I gave it to her for a car, in her office, at home. And little Dylan got to listen to that every day of his life. And every time he came, I would tell him that he was a son of God. I told him stories about God. And some people might say, well, you're a bit weird, Greg. But let me tell you, in the Bible says that Jeremiah was spoken to by God when he was in his mother's womb. And God called Jeremiah to be a prophet to the nations. And then in the New Testament, God spoke to Paul while he was in his mother's womb. And he called him to be an apostle to the Gentiles. Now, if God can speak to Jeremiah and if God can speak to Paul in their mother's wombs, and if the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, as God is, so are we in this world, then I can talk to my grandson in my daughter's womb. Do you understand that? Amen. It's not too complicated, is it? So I did what God said. Then one day we were going to be ministering on a Sunday in a Baptist church up the coast from Brisbane. And just the day before, my daughter came home and she said, Mum, Dad, I've got really good news, really good news. I'm having the baby this weekend. The doctor said the little Dylan's going to come on the weekend. And I said, we won't be here. And she said, how dare you not be here? This is your first grandchild. I said, darling, we can't be here. We gave our word. You know you've got to keep your word. And God organises things around your word. You see, he fixes up things. And so she said, but what about Dylan? The doctor says he's going to be born on the weekend when you're not here. I said, sit down. She sat down. I got down on my knees and I held her by the tummy. And I said, Dylan, this is Granddad. You know me. We've been talking for the last 9 months. I said, Mummy said you're on your way, but I want you to roll over and go to sleep. And he did. He did. He went to sleep. The next week we were home and the doorbell rings again. And I open the door and there's my daughter. She's in tears. I said, darling, it can't be so bad. She said, Dad, she said, I've just come from the doctor. Dylan's on his way. He's breached birth and his backside is engaged. She says, His bottom's coming first, his legs and arms are coming later. And he said, I have to have a cesarean. And that upset her. She didn't want a cesarean. She said, Daddy, what am I going to do? I said, don't worry about it, sit down. She sits down, I put my hands on her tummy again. I said, Dylan, this is your granddad. Remember we've been talking for the last 9 months? Remember we spoke last week and you went to sleep when I told you? I said, well, what you got to do? I said, your bottom's coming. We don't want to see your bottom. We want to see your face. I didn't know what his face looked like, but I certainly probably thought I knew about that. I said, I want you to push and kick, and I want you to turn around. My daughter said, but the doctor said he's engaged. They're going to have to cut. And I said, no, they're not. I'm going to tell my grandson, and he's going to obey me from day one because I'm his granddad. And I said, I want you to push and shove, and I want you to turn around, and next minute, up comes the foot, out goes the hand.
4 hours.
4 hours. Kicked and pushed and head first, down he came. Let me tell you, we have more power than we think we have. You just got to read the word and God will tell you what kind of power you have. We played that music right through his pregnancy, right through his first couple of years. He was always moving, honestly. Just as you know how kids move something? He never stopped moving. We would say, it's time to go to have a little sleep, Dylan. He'd crawl down the floor, come up on the bed, crawl up and next to the little thing, and he'd push the thing, and on would come his music. One of his music when he went to bed. When he was born, they played the music in the birthing suite. When he was 8 years old, he was playing classical guitar, and they said to him, he's so good, by the time he goes to university, they will give him a scholarship in music. By the time he was 8 and a half, he wrote his first composer. By the time he was 9, he was asked to be a part of an orchestra playing cello. By the time he was about 10, he was playing piano and he never had a lesson. Let me tell you, we sowed into our grandson music. Music is a great thing. We don't have music with songs. We don't say they're good or bad. They are good, beautiful music. But we only have instrumental. Because with an instrumental, you can put it just playing in the room, in the background, and it calms things down. It's great when the kids come home from school. Great in the car. It stops road rage. It does. Remember, King Saul had a demonic spirit that oppressed him. Not one doctor could help him. So they sent for David, the harpist. David played psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Wacko Jacko is not going to help your kids. Neither is Madonna or Pink. But anointed Christian music will. We need to be playing. I do not, you ask my wife, I do not play anything in the car except my music, do I, sir? I do not listen to a Christian radio, yes I do, but everything else, it's not in my car, and I'll tell you why it's not in my car, because I don't like the language or the suggestions today. Even country western, about I'm sleeping with my neighbour's best wife, you know, I keep it all out. I don't want anything to influence me, my daughter, my wife, or my children. Godly music. Can I have you bow your heads? I'm apologising on behalf of Graham Eagles because he wouldn't let me preach till midnight. Just not fair. And Graham Simpson. All Graham's the same. But I want you to be... Did you have a good time tonight?
Yes.
I want you to go home and be a doer of the word. But I want you to close your eyes for a moment. I want you to have... Not a big thing, because I don't have all that much time. Just a little thing. It doesn't take long to have a little thing, does it? Do you live in resentment sometimes? Does anger come into your home? Do you get into grief and live there? Are you still hurting about the things of the past? Are there still family members that ripped you off or bugged you or years ago, you know, that you haven't let go of those problems? Some people say, yeah, but you don't understand my mother-in-law. Let me tell you about your mother-in-law. She's not your enemy. She's your mission field. Isn't God good? He wants to clean up your body. There's a scripture in the New Testament that says, "Beloved, I wish above all things you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." That is a mathematical equation. It's a spiritual mathematical equation. What's on this side of the equation equals what's on the other side. And the Bible says, even as. If you've got sickness and health problems over here, it's going to be recorded over there. Whatever you change over here is going to change over there. I tell people this. Don't expect your body to be in health while you leave your soul in poverty. You've got to bring your soul, man, in line with the Word of God. And I look, people, I'm sorry. I don't give long altar calls. I mean, I think if people are going to come, they're going to come for prayer. I'm going to move this backwards here, over here. All right? I'm just going to ask you, without putting your hand up, if you need to send some of your whatever to the dump, your old baggage, some of your unforgiveness, some of your hurt, some of these things that have been bugging you for life, I just want you to get up and walk out here and line up from that side over to this side. I'm not even going to pray for you. I'm just going to lay hands on you. Everybody stand up. If you need a touch from the Lord in this area, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, "Physician, heal thyself." Well, let me tell you now, believer, heal yourself. Do the right thing. Are you blessed?
Absolutely.
Three people, God, the Lord. Come on. Come on out. Come on out. Hurting people, come on out. Most parents are hurting. Anybody with teenagers are hurting. Three things that can bring hurt. Teenagers, teenagers, and more teenagers.
Grandkids.
Grandkids. A word from the wise. I don't want to pray for perfect people tonight, okay? Honey, get out here. And help me. And help me. And help me. I'm just going to stand here just for a minute while more people come. Sometimes, and let me tell you a little secret. I'm a counselor. I have a diploma in counseling from the government. And the most people I counsel are married couples. Hello?
Hello?
Are you guys still talking?
Yeah.
I can't walk past this area. It's a no-go zone. All right? If I walk past here, that speaker out there will blow out Graham's ears. All I'm going to do with Susie, come on, Susie, come on. You touch every lady, I'll touch every man, okay? Just a quick touch, all right? The Bible says, when Jesus went out and healed the sick, yes?
Get on with it.
I was just going to say this. When Jesus went out and healed the sick, I can't remember one prayer he prayed. He just touched them.
That's right.
Just touched them. Yeah, so I'm just going to go along and touch you. When I touch you, I want you to go sit down, okay? Yeah. All right, just in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Father, right now. In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, oh, in Jesus' name, Father, in Jesus' name, right now, Father, in Jesus, I've got to walk Why, there's all women here. In the name of Jesus. Oh, you need a special blessing, don't you? Amen. Amen. But so does your wife. Lord. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Isn't God a good God? In the name of Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, right now. Hey, come here. Come on. My ears are going to go if you don't. Father, in the name of... Come on over here. In Jesus' name. Come on over here a little bit. In Jesus' name. Susie's going to come and give you a hug. When she comes by, say, Greg said, give me a hug, okay? In the name of Jesus, right now. In the name of Jesus, amen. Right now. Okay, you guys who I just laid hands on, go sit down because we've got to get the on to come back. G'day, Diva.
Cheers, God.
In the name of Jesus, right now. Whoa.
Yes.
You are the healed of the Lord. I want you to say, I am the healed of the Lord. Great words, eh? Father, right now, in Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus. Right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Susie's falling in a bog down there. In the name of Jesus, Father. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to pray for you too. In the name of Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name. Bless Ruth. Amen. Lord, for my Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Tomorrow, I want to pray for the sick because I'm going to talk about the miraculous. Hey, guys, come up over here. Come over here. If you need prayer, come on up over here. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to pray for you, sister. Father, in the name of Jesus, close your eyes. Whoops. I'm going to give her a hug, okay? My sister in the Lord, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, this girl's a holy wonder. Amen. Amen. She's in the Spirit. Amen. Help this lady up. Help this lady up. Help this lady up. Father, in the name of Jesus. Has Susie prayed for you? Father, right now, in Jesus' name. In the name of Father, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. It's good to laugh, isn't it? It's good to laugh. Did you know that in Japan, the government has got some of the bigger companies, and the bigger companies have put in laughing rooms? And if you don't go and laugh for so much time every week, you get fired. And so they set them down and they're laughing and productivity has risen and sick leave has gone down the tubes. Absolutely. Father, in the name of Jesus. Kenneth, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I came here just with my wife and I found my dad.
God bless you.
Amen. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Yeah. In Jesus' name. Whoa, whoa. There's Mum. There's Mum. In the name. Oh, you got it already. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Where are you from, dear? Oh, you stuff good?
Yep.
You have a mafia? You belong one in Hapia? Madang. Oh, me got one talk long one, dang. You know Graham and Irene Baker?
Yes,
they are. Yeah, your pastor. Very good friend of mine. Father, in Jesus' name, for my susa, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Anybody else? You, God bless. Isn't that you too?
That's her. She's.
This is my sister.
Yeah.
We're one talk.
Husband.
Oh right. G'day, mate.
G'day, mate.
And one talk belong me. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Blessings. Guys, can I have your attention for? I'm really, really sorry. We thought we bought enough books for the whole month we're here, And we've actually run out of most of our stuff in the first half. I still do have some books here. Two of my health books, my other health book is gone. If you want to get those, there's about 15 out there or so. If you don't mind using USB sticks, we've got the whole set of three on USB sticks. The other thing we have is four CDs, totally music. They are not heavy music, they are soft music. They've got about 23 instruments playing. They are all put together wonderfully and very, very quiet. And they're good for the car, good for the home, good for when you've got visitors, good for the kids when they're doing homework, and extra good when you want to get into a bit of soaking with the Holy Ghost. Amen? And so go have a look at those. You will find every one of them very, very good. And I don't know who's looking after this. Oh, Graham is. That's what the USB stick looks like, okay? And there's quite a few ones. Thank you, Graham. And thank you, everybody.